everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. I have to specify, I am Austin Slater because I am currently beardless. We have a newborn. I've been at home on paternity leave, and my newborn hates my beard. He will not sleep if I have that there, so it's gone. You get to see infant Austin now. I feel like I age like 20 years back every time I share. Yeah. But it is good to be back with you. There was a great wailing and gnashing of teeth that could be heard as far as Kalamazoo, saying, "Where is Deeper? We miss Deeper. We are here. Your dentist can thank us. No more nationality." But Dan, it's good to be back. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing well. Yeah, it is good to be back here, Austin, with you, with all you listening in, watching in. Yeah, good reason for taking a break.
Absolutely. So
congratulations again to you and Danica. It's just, awesome thing. But it is good to be back in this space.
It's good to be
deeper in the word.
And in this space, you may also notice we are not in our normal space. As we're recording, we're getting some work done on the soundboard up there. We will be back in our normal space with our fancy microphones and everything next time. But for now, we're in the Welcome Center, which is lovely and works very well. But Dan, why don't we dive into it? Because again, it's been a while. What did we talk about on Sunday?
Yeah. Oftentimes, you know, we're in the middle of a series as we do these. We like doing series, connectivity and that. But right now in this season, we haven't been. But that's worked out well because this past week was Ascension Day, where we celebrate the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of the Father. And so we connected with that for our sermon, which was from Psalm 47, which is a coronation ascension psalm. Really, we've tied that in with probably initially when the temple was built and the Ark of the Covenant, God's throne on earth as it was at that time, was brought in. And that psalm was for that occasion and then was used, as we talked about, on New Year's Day celebrations after that. And so very clear connectivity. It even talks about God ascending to the throne right in the middle of the psalm. So it was good to spend time in it. We read that psalm. I don't think I've ever preached on it, though, certainly not here at Friendship. So it was good to dig into it a little more deeply and think, why does this matter that God seated on the throne? What's so good about that? And we'll talk about that some more here, too, as well. But that was really what we connected with. It was good to spend some time thinking about the importance of God's reign.
Well, because, and you know, like you kind of said at the start, like whoever the boss is, if you're at job, whoever the boss is at the job changes your whole job experience.
Yeah.
I know my wife had a job that she loved the work she was doing and could not stand to be in because the management and the job was terrible. Mm-hmm. So really knowing who your manager is, who your boss is,
right,
that's going to change your whole experience. And for those of us on earth with God as our boss, with Jesus as our boss, that really shakes how we go through the day-to-day minutia of filling out forms in life or whatever.
Right.
So I really appreciate that. Again, just really good to take a step back and remember that perspective of where we are in the scope of everything. Mm-hmm. I do want to focus today a little bit towards the end of the sermon. Mm-hmm. And this was the practical steps you kind of gave. And I want to dive a bit more into that. We talked specifically about how our understanding of God's reign will have an impact on our perspectives of the past, mm-hmm. our joys in the present, and our hopes in the future. Mm-hmm. I just want to hit on each one of those a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Because on the past side, we talked about how our past can haunt us. Mm. And I loved your example of the credit score.
Yeah.
Because my goodness, if you miss one payment, if you, you know, whatnot, that is going to haunt you for a long time. Yeah. They're going to remember this. And I don't know anyone who hasn't at some point or other lay in bed awake thinking, man, this thing that that weighs heavy on my soul, this mistake I made, this thing that happened to me, mm-hmm. someone I care about. The past can be so heavy. And our worldly reaction, like you were saying, is to hold it against you.
Right.
Like, if you have made a mistake, you better darn well be paying for that mistake.
Right.
And you see that everywhere in our world. You're starting to see it creep into some corners of the church. And that's not healthy. So I'd just love to start by asking, how do we make sure that we are not, as believers, lording other people's mistakes over them, even if they really deserve it?
Yeah. You know, I think this is a really good question, Austin, because we celebrate the fact that God's forgiving, of course, and he's gracious to us. And he doesn't hold those things against us, right? He forgets them, as it were. He throws them into the heart of the sea. As we celebrate that, sometimes we can still then practice the opposite way. And Jesus tells a whole parable about that in Matthew, right? The parable of the unforgiving servant. And when you read that, this is the the wisdom and beauty of Jesus, you read it, you're so incensed with that servant that he receives that forgiveness, this massive debt canceled. He goes out, he's choking his fellow servant for that little bit he owes, and Jesus, you can hear him pushing it like, well, you better not do that, right? So it's a great question. How do we live into the reign of God as we all have tasks and we all make mistakes and deal with that? And it's fair saying up front, right? There are consequences in an earthly sense for what we do, right? If I break the law, of course, and you know, there's consequences to that. I can't say to the judge, to the officers, whoever, like, well, can't you just forget about that? Right? There are consequences. And that's not true just legally, but sometimes relationally, mm-hmm. personally. You know, we've all had times when in relationships, trust is breached. Mm-hmm. And you just can't act like nothing happens sometimes. And so let's acknowledge that. There are consequences. But how do we then not use that almost as a weapon against one another? And I think that's really what you're getting at as we see the example of the Lord. And so I think a part of that is remembering what God has done for us. We use the example of the sons of Korah, right? Acknowledge at the beginning of this psalm, this is who, you know, is writers of the psalm who are going to be singing it and acknowledging their past. Their great, 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 great grandfather was led this rebellion against Moses. It got swallowed up by the earth. I mean, what a past.
Yeah.
I mean, it's written there for everybody. Yeah,
it's like, you cannot miss that.
Yeah. And yet here they are, serving in the temple of God, leading worship, writing songs, honoring the Lord, you know, and saying, yeah, you are in charge. I mean, what an incredible thing. Only possible by the grace of God. And so I think that example there of not holding it over in such a way that we're not giving any opportunity for someone to move past that, mm-hmm. right? You move past to pass.
Yeah.
And that takes some time. Again, acknowledging if you've been hurt by someone, it's just hard to, all right, well, I better trust you fully again, right? We have spouses, right, who have hurt each other. And
work does need to happen to regain.
Right. But that, I think the holding down you're referring to is like, we're going to keep bringing that up. We're going to keep identifying you by this thing. And once you've done this, you're always a cheater. You're always a, and of course, that's not our experience with the Lord. He doesn't keep holding that sinful identity, rebel identity over us. Now we're dressed in the righteousness of Christ. That clothing image is really helpful.
Yeah.
Letting people, our lives are often an arc, right? There's changes. We make mistakes, but then you can see growth and the Spirit of God goes to work. Just had someone we were working with recently who's had a huge change in their life. And to see that's incredible. But yeah, there's mistakes that were made in the past and someone else might meet them after years apart and think, yeah, aren't you still so-and-so who's not done this? And we have to allow, like, God's working in people's lives. People can change and improve too. Instead of holding them to, when we were in high school together.
Oh, that's so good. I actually was just listening to a podcast recently on this one guy. He's a lawyer.
Mm.
And he went to his 10-year reunion from law school graduation. And he was talking with some people. And he found out that several of the people there were like, oh no, this guy's here. Oh. And he's like, wait, I thought we were good. What's with this?
Mm.
In his own hindsight, he's like, oh, you know, I actually really did not treat these people well while we were students together. But it was one of those things where it's like, he changed over time to the point where he's like, how on earth did I even act that way when I look back on it? Mm. And that's something that we all have that growth that we can do. And so I think giving us also the space that, like, hey, we can grow too from this, I think is also free. Because sometimes it's other people pushing you down. Sometimes that's yourself.
Yeah. Such an interest. And we could go probably a little too far off, but there is an interesting interaction there. We're talking about as we're the ones who maybe have been wrong or someone's got a past and holding that over them. But you're kind of referencing too, like, oh, I've done some things. And we all have, right? And you're coming across someone you have hurt, you've wronged in some way. You know, how do we interact with that in a sense that, yeah, we're not identified with? Because sometimes I'm always trying to make up for, like, oh, and it is pecs now. I can't undo the wrong I did there by trying to be nice now. But all I can do is, how do I relate going forward?
And, right.
So sometimes, you can only, kind of apologize or live in penance so much for that, too. Mm-hmm. And like that's when you're on that side, too. How do we live into not being tracked by the past. And
right.
So there's kind of both sides of that. Hearing you bring that up brought that to mind too.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's, It's all encompassing. Mm-hmm. And especially as we're trying to live into the present, which is what I would love to transition to now. Wasn't that a smooth transition?
Yeah. Very good. You have had no time off.
Milk time off and no sleep. So we're good. So as we look at finding joy in the present, you identified this during the sermon, but especially for my generation, but in general, writ large across the world, it is so hard to find joy in the moments we're living in. And, you know, you can point to any number of causes or amplifiers or whatnot. But the somewhat grim reality is that, like, we're living in a world that is, you know, full of struggle, that is full of wars and rumors of wars, that is full of disease, that is full of corruption, greed, all of this stuff. And we as believers, we can find joy in the fact that, you know, we know God's our boss. We know he's going to put this all right. He's a God of justice. So we can have that joy. But we are also called to be ministering to people who don't have that perspective. Mm-hmm. And from my conversations with a lot of non-believers, sometimes they're like, this feels really disingenuous. Mm-hmm. It's like, how on earth can you be joyful when there's these wars going on, when this massive injustice is happening? How can you be joyful? And so I guess my question in this is, how can we maintain that joy that we should have as believers in a way that does not distance those who don't have the source of that joy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great, great question. And obviously, it's an everyday thing, as we're always in the present for us. But yeah, that's a good question, man. And I think it's true. You're acknowledging, obviously, for your generation, just kind of one behind mine, there is, you know, studies show it, right? This overall picture of a more pessimistic view of things for a lot of reasons. But as I get to minister to people of different ages, you know, we connect with a lot of people who are getting toward the end of their lives and have had a different experience in their generation. But man, I hear from them the challenges of growing older and losing loved ones, losing friends, and the abilities aren't always there. And it's tough in that sense too. So you're right. Life in general, it's hard in this world.
Yeah.
And we've talked before, and it's worth noting again, the difference between joy and happiness, right? And that connectivity there of this deep-seated peace, this really solid ground we're standing on because we know God's the boss, that gives us that ground to stand on versus just what I think often comes across as fake is like plaster the smile on. I got to be happy even though I just lost someone. Even though I'm
bring the whole family to church, we're all smiles even though we're fighting in the minivan on the way.
Right. Or yeah, I'm in this environment here where there's clearly huge injustice going on, and that is a good distinction to make. That's not what we're talking about. I think the best way I can think of to describe this, and I think it gets at your question, how do we do this genuinely, is that when we know God's the boss, that he's in charge, it gives us that solid footing to be on, and the joy is there in knowing that even in the midst of all this, it kind of connects with the future piece. We know where this is going, and we know who's leading things, and not maybe some of the negative powers that are causing these situations. But that foundation of knowing that truth allows us to truly be present. And what I mean by that is that we can be real in whatever the situation is. So if we're in a very happy moment, right, we're celebrating the birth of a new child, right? And we can rejoice in that and be happy and smile and laugh together and giggle at the little things the child does and all of that. At the same time, because I know where this is going, when I'm in a situation where someone has lost a loved one, I can grieve. Yes, we grieve with hope, but we can grieve, we can cry, we can wail, right? When we see an injustice, where there's just this huge economic disparity, or we're in a place where it's just overwhelmed with poverty, we can cry out and say, what is this? And something needs to be done about this. Because again, we know who's in charge. We know he's a God of justice. And we know this is not where things are going. And so we can honestly, I believe, live into all these things. And it's not taking away like, oh, I got to be happy because I know where it's going. There is that honest range of a feeling and emotion, all based off of this foundation of God's in charge. He's taking things in a certain direction. We have underneath that joy. We're not going to be hopeless. But we do honestly get upset and see the wrong and also rejoice and are happy and, you know, till we can really enjoy those moments. And it's not wrong to have one situation one day where we're like, oh, this is incredible, and we're laughing, and the next, we're not. You see that even with funerals, as we're going through those times, you're remembering these things and you're laughing about moments, and the next moment you're crying and, I can't believe they're gone. And That's, I think, as Christians, we can actually live into the present me, and not performative, not doing that, but it actually for us can come from this fruit that Jesus is on the throne. You know where things are going. So we don't have to fake it in any direction. We can live honestly because, yeah, we do know things are going to the best life, right? How is this meant to be? But right now, that's not there yet.
Yeah.
We have moments and we celebrate, but there's lots that are too. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the best way I think I could describe how this can come together and we can be as honest as we can. And hopefully it opens up. People ask, like, you know, how do you respond to this? Mm-hmm. You know, you believe this, but what's going on there? Because even our emotions are always backed by this bull that we have. So, yeah, it's a very good question. And it's not something you can really think about and go into situations and do. It's just, I think, having that grounding and genuinely loving people and, of course, loving the Lord and wanting to walk with them through fast, right?
I think being able to hold things in tension at the same, both things can be true at the same time. Mm-hmm. You like to think it is either this or it is this. Mm-hmm. And no, we can have joy in God's eventual renewal of things at the same time bemoaning the state of it. I think a good example of that for me was growing up, I went to a boarding school in Kenya, and at one point we had these massive rains, and they made huge mudslide. It wiped away half of our campus was under mud, pretty much. And it was a beautiful campus, and buildings were destroyed. And it was one of these things that we were devastated at the loss that had happened to this community, you know. Livelihoods were destroyed. There were a few people who passed away in these mudslides, and there was the grieving of like, this is so hard, but we know what will come of this because we know that this is, you know, the buildings are just buildings,
right?
We can rebuild them, you know,
temporary,
and we have this, you know, all around us is the God who created this in the first place, so we know we can come back, and we have to have joy to come back through that. But it's still, again, living in that tension is
I think the story of David's a good example. Yes. We've been going through that Sunday evenings, and David's got this promise, but then he's living in between for a long time. And there's lots of tough stuff that happens to him in the midst of it. But you can see that, like, you know, and he, you read the Psalms. Some of them are written from those situations, and there's honest expression of, you know, what's going on, and but there's hope as well with the Lord. You're going to bring this about. But it's not devoid of... It's not just like, oh, yeah, no, that's great. My entity just trapped me in this cave, and I'm so happy, right? The bears are nice in here. Yeah, but I mean, you know, kind of thing. And it's really like, man, I'm feeling them pressing around me. And yet there is hope, right? There is this different peace because there's a trust in the Lord there. So, yeah, good examples as we go through them.
I appreciate your insight. Moving on to the future. This ties in so well with our present because... When we see our present, we are filled with, you know, we're struggling, we can't, don't see the joy. It is very easy then to have despair for our future.
Yeah.
I mean, those things go hand in hand. You cannot really have hope for the future if you are not able to see anything to have joy.
Right.
In,
right.
Any hope, any progress. And one of the things that can be very tempting, and the world does this a lot, and we as sinful people do this a lot, is when... We don't see hope. We try and make hope happen our way.
Yep.
I mean, this is the tale as old as time. This is, you know, the 12 tribes of Judah. Like, this is the story of the church. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, when we cannot see the hope, when we are struggling, when we're like, I'm really scared of what's going to happen there. Mm-hmm. I'm really scared of what's going to happen if this person comes in power. I'm really scared of what's going to happen if I lose this job, you know, what have you. We're then so tempted to take the tools of the world. Mm-hmm. And use those to bring about the future we want. Mm-hmm. That might even be a future that we want that somewhat aligns with God's vision.
Sure.
You know, I know I for sure would love to see, you know, like our revival in our country. But that has to be something that is done in the right way. You can't force people to believe in it.
Right.
And just as an example. And so I guess my questions for you here. First, what would be some warning signs that I am grasping for worldly tools to secure our future rather than relying on Christ tools? And then if I know someone who is deeply fearful of the future, how can I come alongside and support and encourage them that there is hope to be had?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those warning signs, I think a lot of it comes down to putting too much on something or someone, right? Whereas, like, say, for just let's use a political realm. If in our context, if this person gets elected or doesn't get elected or isn't, it's just going to all be done for, right? That we're probably creating too much stock, too much trust in a person, a party, a thing, right? Mm-hmm. A policy, whatever it might be. So those, that kind of like, we're anchored, like, I'm going to be beside myself with despair if this doesn't happen or if this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. We're probably putting too much hope in those things. And then we're going to react, as we talked about, our attitudes and actions in those ways. I think St. Augustine talks about this, or Augustine, however you want to pronounce him. But he talks about often the error. We think probably naturally it's like, well, when I get into sin, it's that my heart is too prone to go after evil things. Mm. Certainly that happens. But his point is actually the truth is we're more prone to go too much after things that are good.
Interesting.
Right? We divulge too much in these things. And it's like, it's a really good insight.
Yeah.
There are times you go after evil, but when you see people, what are they putting their hopes in? Very rarely is it like, man, here's the worst person we could find. Here's this terrible thing that destroys everybody else. It's usually, to your question you asked at the outset, something that has some kingdom quality to it or has some connectivity, and we just put too much into it. Mm. And that's true personally, even, and just with idols. And that's kind of St. Augustine, Augustine's point. It's like idolatry, that's often where we're idolizing. Things that on the surface are bad, but we just put too much stock in there.
I think that like we are so disconnected from the historical understanding of idols that I think we always think of them like it's a statue of Baal, or, you know, it's this demonic.
Then
even back then, that wasn't the way that they saw it, at least. They were like, these are beautiful things that we are creating.
Connected to life,
connected,
right?
To like, life.
We need the crops to grow. We need, so yeah. like you said, this is a grasping, like, oh, how do we have a debt? Well, there must be a God out there.
Right.
You know, let's honor the gods or the God for fertility. We want to have children. We want a good crops. We want, you know, we don't want the bad storm that's going to destroy.
Right.
So there's always that grasping of how do we have a future?
Yeah. And I love that. And again, I just love you pointing out that like, yeah, this is an idolatry thing.
Mm.
It might not look like the idolatry we're used to envisioning, but that is where that stems from.
It totally connects with this whole sermon's theme, right? Who's the box?
Yeah.
And then this is the personal side, who's on the throne. And that is when I'm getting so much stock into, you know, let's just do a person again. And it can be a lot of things, right? It could be any person in our lives. It could be a family member who we love, right? But like, if we're never like, well, everything they say is good, so I'm going to do whatever they tell me, right? And that's true. Like someone in my role, I'm trying my best, of course, to represent God's word and do that. But you always should be testing what I say against the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
Same thing, whether it's political leaders, sports figures, Hollywood figures, family figures, right? I mean, we can easily idolize other people who have leadership roles and sort of just, without thinking, do whatever they tell us to do. Like, well, if they said it, it must be right.
Yeah.
They can't be wrong. And that's idolatry, right? It's giving someone a place that belongs to the Lord.
I think a good, my dad pointed this out as a really good way of identifying whether or not, you know, you're putting someone above it is if a situation happens, something happens, and your first thought is, well, I wonder what this person has to say about it, rather than I wonder what the Bible has to say about it. Let me take some time to pray and think and meditate on this. But if it's, I wonder what this person has to say about this situation, that might be an indication that we're going a little too far in that direction.
Too much stock. Yeah. And again, like, we appreciate people who are blessed with godly wisdom and speaking, know the word. But the inclination there, or it certainly shouldn't be like, well, I've heard what they said. That's it.
Yeah.
You could say, well, I went and invested and now I need to test that. Let's see what, you know, they quoted a passage. Let me look at that and see. And what context is that in? Right. And without that, yeah, that measuring of the Lord and like, okay, what does God say?
Right.
That's a good.
And I think we all want hope to be easy.
Yeah.
Because it's really, you know, it's like, okay, well, here's the thing. This will, you know, rough fingerprint it. Like, this is how it'll go. It'll be easy, quick, succinct, especially with our fried attention spans nowadays. Mm. Hope takes a while to develop too.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something that like, I mean, obviously like we have the hope in Christ and that, but that is also a skill that we have to practice.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't just get a like, okay, here, Dan, here's your hope.
Right.
We're done. And you don't have to think about it. You don't have to wrestle with it.
We all want it easy.
We all want it easy, and it doesn't come easy.
No, and that's a great point, too, that you know, one, what are we hoping for? Right. That's a good piece there. Like, what am I putting my hopes in? Like some sort of, like you said, worldly vision. Like, well, my hopes that I'm wealthy and comfortable. Well, that might, you know, if I'm pursuing that, it might damage some other people versus a kingdom vision. And then, yeah, am I just thinking on my timelines or the Lord's? Yeah. And to your question of the second part of that, I believe you said was more of how do we help someone who's made it got more despair, right? And had in trouble seeing hope. Of course, it goes back to the heart of the message, right? This is why it's important to know who's the boss and, you know, who he is, his character, what he's done for you. But even Christians, we struggle with this at times. And I think sometimes it helps us. It's just the way even our news is structured. We don't see the positive things very often.
Yeah.
It's not highlighted. Yeah. And so to take time to say like, yeah, not to minimize. And maybe it's not the moment when someone's just lost and they're, right. You know, the mudslide just happened. Might be like, hey guys, guess what? You know, maybe not the time to come in, but there is spaces we need to point out like, man, do you see like this has moved from here to here?
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. This person's life did turn around. This person, yeah, really did struggle with his addiction and that's not there. Personally, like our relationship's a lot better than it was. Sometimes we just go along and say, well, of course, you know, that should happen. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's just pretty incredible.
I heard someone talk actually the other day about testimonies. And one of the challenges of testimony culture, quote unquote, is that, you know, my life was terrible, terrible, terrible. And then this changed and it was all good all the time after.
Yeah, right.
It's like, that's not how it is.
Yeah.
But there is something to the, we do see growth and we do see development and we do see change over time. And it is important to look back on where we were when we were not doing so well. To be reminded, you know, but for the grace of God, there was I.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that sometimes we take it for granted. We need to highlight those things. Because, yeah, there are, you know, the steps back. But there are the steps forward, too. And that gives us hope to see what's going on. And sometimes even historically, as we're talking about the world at large, we need to be reminded, too. I do love history. Like, hey, you know, I know even generationally we do this. Man, things were so much better X amount of years ago. I feel that, too. We all want to do that. Now my generation's starting to do it. Like there's all this nostalgia for the 90s, right? And it's like, hey, there's things that were terrible then, right? You go back 100 years, like, man, remember they were living with this. And, it's been some good progress, right? Yeah. The Lord's doing some good things, often through his people in the church. So
yeah,
I think that can help us see a bigger picture.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we live relatively short time when you think about the grand scheme and God's overall, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you for... humoring my rabbit trails.
No, very good.
What are we talking about next week?
So this coming week, yes, we installed Pastor Marshall this last week. He's going to be preaching this week, which is great. And so he's our pastor of congregational care. And so he's going to connect some with that in this coming week. He's going to be preaching from John 9, which is the Jesus healing this man born blind and thinking about care, not only from Jesus there, but how the community would have to be involved with that too. So connecting with some of that. It's also Pentecost Sunday, so thinking about the Spirit and throughout our worship service as well. So, looking forward for him to be able to get up there and use his gifts and take us into the Word. And hopefully we'll get a chance for him to connect with us on this forum as well. But, that's where we're going to be going here next week.
Well, thank you, Dan, for your time. Thank you all for joining again. Thank you for your patience. Looking forward to getting back into the swing of things. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next time.